God bless everyone. So we're going to go through that tonight, and I think next week, is there any church in next week?
No, so
it'll be the week after we'll do prophecy and discernment. Is that right, Joseph? So we'll do prophecy and discernment the following week. Before we do, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for who you are, what you've done. I thank you for your mercy, I thank you for your love, I thank you for your sacrifice. Oh Lord, I pray, oh God, that we're here tonight and that we come around to listen to your word. I pray, oh God, that you give us understanding. Oh Lord God, that we would take from your word, my God, not what we think, but what your word says. I pray, oh God, that you give us understanding. Oh Lord God, that you would change our minds, my God, instead of changing, Lord God, and that you do a work, my God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now as we've been going through the gifts of the Spirit, we've gone through a word of knowledge, words of wisdom, healing, faith. What other ones? John, what ones did you do?
Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and faith.
Yeah, we've done that. So we've gone through some of the gifts, and there are gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the Bible talks about. There's also gifts in Romans that the Bible talks about that we'll get to. But tonight I want to speak about baptism, or not baptism in the Holy Spirit, but I want to speak about speaking in tongues. And it would help us if we come to this with the Word of God in our minds. Not our past, or not how things have gone in the past, or things have worked, but what the Word of God says. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
And if it challenges the way that you've got it, or you think, then we'll pray about that, and let's see what the Word of God says. So, if we read, I think it was verse 10, yeah, so we read verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. It says, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits and the different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one in the same Spirit working all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, I want to speak about, first of all, speaking in tongues, or talking in tongues. Now, many of us think that being baptised in the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to talk in tongues. That's not quite true. It might be a sign or the evidence of you being able to being baptised in the Holy Spirit, but it is not being baptised in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 tells you that that Jesus would say himself, wait here 50 days, so they wait till Pentecost, that's what 50 means, they wait there for the day of Pentecost, and then you will receive power on high, and then you will be my witnesses in Judah and Samaria and to the rest of the world. Well, when we read that on the face value of it, that you would be my witnesses, so that you would tell people about Jesus. That's from the face value of that, that's what we see. But that word witness means martyr. Think about that.
It means what?
Martyr. So it gives you the ability to lay down your life for the sake of Christ. as what baptism in the Holy Spirit, that you would be able to lay down your life. Now, many of us don't want to think about it that way. We just want to think about it, yeah, I can go witnessing now, I'll tell people about the Lord. But in order for you to tell people about the Lord, you need to lay down your life anyway, as a testimony to the Lord, as a testimony to everybody around. So, and then they waited in the upper room in Acts chapter 2, and then it says that they received tongues of fire that fell upon them. We know that, don't we? We know in Acts chapter 2 how that worked. And they all spoke in tongues, and everybody that was there heard them in their own language. So people spoke out in tongues. The word here for tongue is a... If you want the real the pronunciation of it, come to me afterwards and you can read it. It begins with the letter G and it just means the organ, the tongue. That's what it means, that thing that lives inside your mouth. But it also has another meaning. It means languages. So if anyone speaks in tongues, what is it saying? It isn't saying if everybody's got loads of different, whatever you would call this inside your mouth, tongue. It doesn't mean that. It means languages. What's your native tongue?
English.
English is your native tongue. That is what it was saying. It means, look, I think it was, I didn't even pronounce it. It was G, and that's it. If you want to know, I've got it here, I'll tell you later. But that's what that meant. It meant the tongue itself. And that's what it says it means to the languages that went out. So the people in Acts 2, they heard them speak in tongues. They heard them speak in their own languages. But that is different than what Paul talks about here. Because he talks about interpretation. If anyone gives a tongue, an utterance in a church, and there should be an interpretation for those to understand it. So it is not the one that actually happened in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, they all stood up, they all spoke in tongues, and the people that was coming from all over the world at that time to descend on Jerusalem, they heard them giving glory to the Lord, thanks and glory and praising the Lord in their own language. So people coming from Africa and Europe and Turkey and all these other countries, they heard them speak in language, in their own native language. That's what they heard. So that was a special time in Acts. Now that can happen now. People can speak in a foreign language, an earthly language, they can speak in a language that people can understand it. There's been loads of different testimonies, loads, where people have been in different countries. There was a girl recently in Australia, and somebody spoke in French. They spoke in tongues, but it was in French. And then there was a girl there from Canada, and there's places in Canada that they speak French. So she heard it in her native language. She heard it in a tongue that she could understand it. And she could understand them speaking. And then afterwards, she went over to talk to the person and said, do you know French? She went, no, I've spoken French before, I don't know what it means. But she heard them giving glory to the Lord because she could hear it in that tongue. Now, it can happen that way. But it's not always like that. Have you ever heard someone speak out in tongues and you don't know what's happening, you don't know what they've said? Yeah? If you're baptised, and you're baptised next week and you speak in tongues, you don't know what you're on about, do you? You don't. So in Acts chapter 2, they spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 10, we see that when Paul went to Cornelius' house, he prayed for the Gentiles there, and they received baptism in the Holy Spirit. How did he know that they received baptism in the Holy Spirit? Because they spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 19, he said he prayed for the men that was there. There was 12 of them that believed in the baptism of John the Baptist. And he spoke to them and told them a more excellent way. And he told them about Jesus, and he told them about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they never even heard it. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? He said. Maybe we don't even know what this is. And he prayed with them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How did he know that they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because they spoke in tongues. So that is an evidence there that we can say that if someone is baptised in the Holy Spirit, they will speak in tongues. But I want to tell you that speaking in tongues is not the gift. We're getting that wrong. Baptism in the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to lay down your life, to be a martyr, so that you can be a witness for others. You will see power from on high. Power for what? To lay down your life. Do you know, the first martyr in the Bible, who can tell me who it is?
Stephen.
Acts chapter 8. And what was good about Stephen? The Bible says that they chose seven men. They chose men amongst them that was full of the Holy Spirit. And he was able, he was a man that was full of the Holy Spirit, and he stood up and preached the word of God, and he became a martyr, the first martyr. Every person in here, when they become born again, they receive the Holy Spirit on conversion. You get saved, that's what being born again means. You get born again of God's Spirit, it comes and dwells inside. But then there's another part, another gift, and that is the empowering that comes upon people, which is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's an empowering. And for all those that are in here who have never been baptised in the Holy Spirit and who don't speak in tongues, it doesn't mean that you're not saved. It doesn't mean that. It's something that you should eagerly desire and seek the Lord, and the Lord will fill you. The Lord will do it. It's a gift for everybody. But you have to seek the Lord for that. And it's a personal... Every person here will have a personal experience how it happened to you. For me, I was 12 years old. It was the first convention I ever went to. It was in Scotland in a place called Holytown. How good is that? I got baptised in the Holy Spirit in a place called Holytown. I was 12 years old. I went to the first prayer meeting on a Monday morning. I sat in the front of the tent and I was praying to the Lord, and the Lord filled me with the Holy Spirit, and I got baptised in the Holy Spirit straight away. That's what happened to me. Every one of you has had a different experience than that. Aunt Ada, she got baptised in the water and come up out of the water speaking in tongues. She got baptised in the water and baptised in the Holy Spirit straight away. Now, it doesn't mean to say that you have to be baptised in water before you can be baptised in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to work that way. You can be baptised in the Holy Spirit and then baptised in water. It doesn't have to work that way. But that's what that is. Now, the reason why I bring about that when I'm talking about speaking in tongues is because there's a lot of confusion with baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Being baptised in the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that the gift is speaking in tongues. The gift is that you will receive power from on high and be a witness to the ends of the earth, to be able to lay down your life. That's the gift. The sign that you've received it, so it's just a sign that you've received it, is that you speak in tongues. That's where we're at. So then he goes on to say, so now, Paul writes this letter to the Corinthian church, and he writes this letter. We use 1 Corinthians 11:23 every Sunday morning, don't we? For I receive from the Lord that which I also pass on to you. We take the emblems and the table. That's verse 23. If you go back to, I think it's verse 17, it tells them what's going on there. And he said to them, your meetings do more harm than good. That's what he was telling them. In fact, your meetings do more harm than good. You come to the church and you get drunk on the wine. That's what they were doing in Corinthians. So what was Paul doing to the Corinthian church? He was instructing them on how to go on. That's what he was doing. He was instructing them on how to do things right. Not wrong, but do it right. So when Paul writes this letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 23, then it goes on to chapter 12, so he tells us about the Lord's table and how to do that right. And then he goes on to chapter 12 and he says, I'll just read it, quote, instead of quoting it. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. What does ignorant mean? Not without knowledge. You don't know. That's what it means. I do not want you to be ignorant, but you know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. You had no understanding or no knowledge, you never sought it out with what was the truth. You was just carried along by what people said. You lived life with myths and fables and, oh, don't do this, offend the Lord, and don't chuck dirty water out on a Sunday, don't sow on a Sunday. It was just myths and fables. Nobody really knew. But then when we come to Christ, we have to have an understanding. Do you know, I want to tell every person here, you might not have had a college education. You might have done, but there'd be more that haven't. And I do know you, so there'd be more that haven't had a college education. There would probably be a load of us in here that haven't done all their school. I went to school till I think I was 13. 14. I was 14. Never went much then, though, Mum. Come on. Especially when strawberry was around, Mum. So, there's not a lot of us that's done that. But it doesn't mean to say that we have to remain ignorant. We're not dumb. There are very, very educated people in here. We might not have had the education of the world in the sense that you've got to do all your schooling and go to college. You might not have had that. But there's nobody here as a fool. First of all, you've all accepted Jesus Christ. That means you're very intelligent. But secondly, if you need to know something, you need to know how to work something, you need to know to speak another language to earn more money, I guarantee there'll be people in here that are doing. And that's the thought, that's what he wants us to know. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. Gain understanding. Learn. So Paul talks this, and he talks to them in Corinthians, these are the gifts. And then he reads it, then chapter 13. Who knows what chapter 13 is about? 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Love.
Love. God. He gives the motive of using the gifts. What good is it if I can fathom all mysteries and prophesy and speak in various tongues but have not love? What good is that? So what was the focus that Paul was trying to focus the attention on? That this is the reason you've got these gifts. These are the gifts that you've been given. And this is the motive to use these gifts. It's love. Love. Why would you use them gifts? It's not self-love. Because the gifts are to do what? Edify the church. So what is Paul talking about when he says it's all about love? He's talking about you being a help into the church, that you love your brothers and sisters, that you want to prophesy, you want words of knowledge, you want wisdom, you want to be speaking, you want to do things that's right because of your brothers and sisters. Love. Love is the way to build the church, to encourage the church, to strengthen the church. And if you want to use the gifts, it isn't all look at me, self-loathing. It isn't pride. I'll look at what I'm doing. I've got this gift. That's not it. To have the gift was to say that you are moving in love for the church. So the whole reason that Paul would speak chapter 2, tell you about the gifts, chapter 13 would tell you about love. And then when we hit chapter 14, it's going to speak about tongues, and this is where I want to be. That was a long introduction, wasn't it?
I was preaching.
Yeah. Right, chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Now, if you don't take in anything else other than that, verse 1 of chapter 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. But especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue, does not speak to men, but to God. Now I want everybody to understand that. When every person in here speaks in tongues, who do you speak to? Say that again. So everybody, this is this scripture, for a man. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but speaks to God. So it's not that way, to each other, but it's that way, to God. Yeah? Is that not simple? Do we understand that? For no one understands him, however, In the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, and the edification and comfort to men. Right. So with prophecy, who is he speaking to?
Church,
yeah, exhortation and comfort to men. So he's talking about men as in mankind. He's talking about the body. So if somebody prophesies, it's different. So a man speaks, we speak in tongue, it goes to God. Prophecy is God to man. There's a difference. Do you understand? Prophecy is God to man. Now, the other day I was in this church and I shared what I believe that the Lord showed me. I believe that the Lord showed me that I was sitting over in that corner and I was praying. I believe that the Lord showed me something, and I believe it was for somebody. And there was somebody that came forward for it, and I thank the Lord for it. And that would be, it might just be a word of knowledge to me, but that can be a word of prophecy in somebody's life. But the Lord has got his hand in that situation, and they know that, and they encourage him. But that is God to us. And the reason why I say that, if anyone who speaks in tongues, he speaks to God and not man. So whoever speaks in tongues goes to God. Whoever prophesies, who stands up here and prophesies, now prophecy doesn't have to be the future. It doesn't have to be that. It means to proclaim. It can be that you proclaim the things of the Lord, the working of the Lord. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Right, so when you're in church, you're in this building, and you want to pray in tongues between you and the Lord, that's fine. You're edifying yourself. The word edify, tell me what edify means. Building up, put strength into. I mean, that to edify, to put strength into something. So, if I speak in tongues, and it's just between me and the Lord, I don't know what I'm saying, but my spirit knows what I need. The spirit that's there inside me knows what I need. And it prays on my behalf. And it edifies me. It builds me up. That's what speaking in tongues does. Privately, it builds you up. So when he's talking about the church, we'll go on, because I'm going to explain it, and Paul does a better job, or if we just read it. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you would all prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed it is interpreted that the church may receive edification. Right. So there's the speaking of tongues in church only edifies the church when it is interpreted. Do you want everybody understand that? So if I pray in tongues here, and I stand here on this pulpit or sit down and pray, and I'm praying in tongues, I edify me. But if I feel that the Lord poured something on me that I'm going to speak out, and it's an utterance that I'm going to speak out in the church, unless it's interpreted, if there's no interpretation, it does not edify anybody in here. It doesn't. Do you know what somebody's saying? If I go to Africa and someone's speaking Africa to me, I wouldn't get not one word. It could be telling me, don't go over there, there's a load of crocodiles or lions and you're going to get hit. I would look at him and go, I ain't got a clue, mate, don't know. And it makes no benefit to me at all. Well, that is the same sense as somebody speaking in tongues and nobody else around you knows what you're saying unless it is interpreted. So there has to be, if it is called out in the church, someone's calling out, for it to do a work in the church, it has to be interpreted. There are two Greek words of interpretation. And if you want to come to me and you want to know more, I've got the Strong's Concordance, I've got the definite what they are. One begins with D and one begins with H. But if you ask me to pronounce them, I ain't doing it. But one means like verbatim. It means like word for word. So there's an interpretation that can be a word for word interpretation. And there was another word that meant the gist. You get the idea of it. It's like you know what the answer to that prayer is, or you know what that prayer is being said. You get the gist of what's being said. So interpretation, if you know a few French words, if you know a few French words and you don't know all of it, but you get the idea of what the person's saying, you get the gist of it, yeah? So you have a form of understanding of it. That is the Hebrew word, the Greek word of understanding interpretation. There can be verbatim, word for word, what's been prayed up, and word for word, or the gist of what's been prayed up. That's it, that's what the two words are. So, interpretation. What is an interpretation? An interpretation, in this sense, would be an interpretation of what's just got prayed. If a man speaks in tongues, he speaks to who?
God.
So what would the interpretation look like? It would only be to God. In Acts 2, when you read it, go home and read it, he said they heard him giving glory to the Lord. It wasn't prophecy, but it was a prayer to the Lord. Sorry. I'll explain that again. I'm not over explaining things, so I'll explain it again. If someone prays in tongues, who is he praying to? So if it was interpreted, what would it sound like? It would go to God. It would be a prayer to God. It would be the Holy Spirit on your behalf praying to God. It would look like that way. It would be going up. Prophecy comes down. The interpretation is something that's being interpreted of the prayer that's just gone up. Now, look, I have heard, and for the sake of explaining this, and I don't want nobody to feel like they've ever got this, oh, you might have got it wrong, yes, but it doesn't mean to say what you said was wrong. So when somebody interprets the prayer that's gone up, and somebody then says, my children, I talk to you today, and I say to you that if you, and it's that way, then that is not the prayer that's gone up, because you're not praying, my children, I do ask. That's that way. Now, I'll tell you what normally happens. Somebody has got the gift of prophecy that they need to prophesy, or going to say something to encourage the church, but they've waited for somebody to speak in tongues and then give a prophecy. Now, it doesn't mean to say that what they've said is wrong. I'm not saying that. The Bible says that we have to judge the prophecy. We have to judge what's right and what's wrong. We judge the prophecy by the word of God. Does the prophecy go against the word of God? If it does, then we throw that prophecy out. It's against the word of God. And the prophecy should always do what? Edify the church. The prophecy will never be, I'm sick to death of all you lot. You're a rotten lot. You've never come before the Lord in a right way. And I'm going to wash my hands of all of you. That would not be what God would want to say. In rather, he would say, repent. Come to me. Draw close to me and I will draw close to you. That's what God would say. Amen. So we judge prophecy by his word. But I want us to understand this because it's important for us that as we grow and we grow in our understanding, when you read this and it says anybody who speaks in tongues, he speaks to God and not man. So if you're in church and you're going to pray out, and that would be the Holy Spirit praying on your behalf that would pray out. That can be interpreted and encourage everybody. Does not prayers encourage you? Well, I'll tell you something. You've never read the book of Psalms, because the book of Psalms is mostly prayer.
That's
right. Think about it. As the deer pants for the water, my soul longs for you. That man was sitting down and writing this down, and it was like a prayer of his own heart. And can you imagine if the Holy Spirit was on that was praying out and saying lovely psalms to the Lord in that way, and you heard that? Would you not give glory to the Lord in that? So let's understand this. There is a correct way of doing this. I'm not saying that what anybody's done in the past is wrong. I am not. But what I am saying, that if it is prophecy, then it is not interpretation. If it is an interpretation, then it is an interpretation of that prayer that's just gone up. So it says, in verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue speaks to God and not man. Everybody's clear on that. I'm not repeating that again, am I? So if there was an interpretation of tongues, again, what would it be? It would be a prayer unto the Lord. So is everybody clear with that? Everybody clear with that? It was not an answer to that prayer, so that the prayer's gone up and then the interpretation is an answer, because it wouldn't be interpretation. It would be called the answer to prayer, but not interpretation. You can only interpretate the things that's been said. Do you understand? If someone speaks to you in French and you want it interpreted, he's not going to interpret it in a Jamaican that you do not understand, or say things that is totally wrong. To get it right, it has to be an interpretation of that prayer. Yeah? And there are sisters in here who that's happened to. Recently. So. But now, brethren, verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Unless I speak to you by revelation, by knowledge, by prophecy, or by teaching. Even things without life, whether a flute or a harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what the pipes are playing? There is a distinction between prophecy and speaking in tongues. There is a distinction in that sound. So he says here that if I come to you speaking in a foreign language, what good would that be? What good would that be? What good would it be if I got beyond this pulpit and decided tonight that what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray in tongues, I'm going to speak in tongues for 45 minutes. Look, Paul is dealing with that. What good's that? It means nobody's benefited except for the person who's speaking in tongues. It edifies him. For if the verse 8, for if a trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will be prepared for battle? So likewise, you unless you utter by the words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks is a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for the spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church, that you may speak to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in tongue, verse 13, therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he might interpret it. For I pray in tongue, that in a tongue, that my spirit, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, I just want to stop there a minute. It says this, that if somebody is going to speak out in tongue for the church, that person should pray, because there's no one else there to interpret it. That person should pray that they might receive the interpretation. Therefore, let him who speaks in the tongue pray that he might interpret it. So if somebody is in here who speaks in tongues and agrees for the church, you stand up, you speak aloud, and you pray out in tongues, and then we're waiting for an interpretation, and you're the person that's given that, then pray to the Lord that you might receive the interpretation. That's what he says here. He says also, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. When he says that unfruitful, if anybody's got a different translation, it might say without knowledge. So you have no clue what you're saying. Do you understand? That if you speak in tongues, you're going to get edified, but you have no clue what you're saying. You have no understanding. Is that true? So to see two people standing on, like we have seen in the past, money preachers and people were, as far as I'm concerned, wolves, stand up behind a pulpit and speak in tongues to one another. And how silly would that be? Yet churches get, that's great. What good of it? Me and Joseph said the full conversation in tongues. He can't understand what I'm saying. I can't understand what he's saying. But because I want to look clever, I'll make out what I'll do. And that's exactly what people do. Or have done. If someone speaks in tongues, and you don't know the language that they're speaking in, you do not know what they're saying. Is that correct? So that's just what Paul is saying. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with my spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. So when Aaron is saying he's going to pray in the spirit, he's going to pray with tongues, and he's going to pray with understanding. So he's going to pray in the language that he understands. So if he prays in tongues, he has no understanding. But if he prays in a language that he does understand, he understands. Yes. Yeah? Everyone got that? I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. So he's going to worship in the Spirit, he's going to pray, worship the Lord in tongues, or sing in tongues, and he's also going to sing in, he ain't going to sing in English, but I want to say English, but he's going to sing in the language that Paul did. What language is that? Hebrew? He could have sung in Hebrew, yeah, I think. Otherwise, if you bless with one, hold on, I'll see you understanding. Verse 16. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he occupy that place of the uninformed say amen at that giving of thanks, since he does not understand what he's saying? If somebody in here is speaking out in tongues, you can't say amen. Because what does amen mean? I agree. And if somebody is praying in a foreign language, you can't say amen because you don't know what's saying. And if somebody is speaking in tongues, you cannot agree with them because you can't say amen because you have no clue what they're saying. They could be praying for something completely different. Something that you don't know. So you can't say amen at the giving of thanks or understanding. Verse 17. For you indeed give thanks well, by the other is not edified. It's saying that the person that is speaking in tongues can give thanks unto the Lord and he does it well. But nobody else is edified, only the person that's praying. I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I would rather speak five words with understanding than I would teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. There's Paul. Paul is saying that if he's going to come into church and everybody's speaking in tongues, what good is it? You only edify yourself. Well, the gifts are to do what? Edify the church. You want to sit here quietly and pray to the Lord, and we're having a quiet time, having a time of prayer, and you want to pray in tongues, you want to pray in tongues for yourself, that is fine. That is fine. If you want to pray out in tongues, that's fine also. But make sure that the Lord has called you to pray out, wait for the interpretation, And if there's no one interpreting, then you should ask the Lord that he would give you the interpretation. Does anybody get anything other than what I've just said? I think that's, Paul is making this quite clear. And the clearness is this. If you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. If you pray out and it's interpreted, you edify the church. But it only edifies the church if it's interpreted. How long have I been going? About an hour. Jim, how long? I think everybody's got the idea. Eh? He goes on to say, and I'll quote this, but read it for yourself. He goes on to say, what good is it if everybody speaks in tongues inside the church? Would not the unsaved say that you're mad? They can't understand you. You can't understand one another. What good is it? Everybody's screaming out in tongues. It's no good. He says here that there should be no more than three that would speak in tongues. That's what he says. He says also in verse 33, 32, it says that the Spirit you're in control of. You never get carried away. You're in control of it. You can stop and you can start. If I want to pray in tongues now, I can. Who's baptised in the Holy Spirit in here? Who speaks in tongues? Can you pray in tongues right now? If you wanted to? Yeah. But I can also stop. Because God has given me that ability. Because he makes it, that's that gift, he puts it in subject to me. I'm in control. So praise the Lord. I hope everybody's learned. I can go on more on this, but it goes over and over again what he's saying. And this is what I want us to understand with the gift of tongues and interpretation. Tongues does a work with you. It edifies you. It also edifies the church when it's interpreted. And what does an interpretation look like? If a prayer that's gone up to the Lord, it would look like an interpretation of that. Otherwise, it's a prophecy. And I think that we've heard people give a prophecy. And that's not wrong. That's the right thing to do. But it would not be an interpretation of that tongue. Because it would be a prayer that goes up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any questions?